the Mace Finnegan and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. And we are presented by Bet365. Whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. It's time to play a word game. I love word games, crosswords, word searches. I think I'm too old for word searches, but my son brings home word searches, and he doesn't complete them, so I do it. You know, little brain teaser. So I was inspired by an article on FoxSports.com written by Ben Arthur, former Tennessee Titans beat reporter for the Tennessean. One word that describes every NFL team's offseason, and I'm not going to reveal what Ben Arthur's choice was for the Tennessee Titans, but this is what I want from all of you at 615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. I want one word to describe the Titans offseason. And don't cheat by putting multiple words together with hyphens.
So it's a one word.
I want
Just one word.
Okay. I don't want two words with a hyphen and for you to claim it's one word. No, I need one word to describe the Titans offseason. So I'm going to pose the question first to Willie and Derek. And when we've all gone through with our words, I will reveal Ben Arthur's words. So Willie, off the top of your head, one word you would use to describe the Titans offseason.
One word to describe the Titans offseason.
This is live radio.
Foundation. Foundation.
Foundation.
That's what I kept saying.
Yeah, I know. You guys need to say
foundational.
Foundational, that works. And why did you land on foundational?
Just
as
because
your
I think we're starting from the bottom here, and you've got to start somewhere, and they don't have a foundation right now, and they're hoping they are building the foundation now.
Okay,
that's what I would say.
Derek Mason,
and obviously Cam Ward, everything is riding on him. They put all their eggs in his basket, and so he better be the guy on the bottom of the pyramid.
All right. So Willie Donick chooses foundational. I think that's a solid choice. What about you, Derek Mason? One word to describe the Tennessee Titans offseason.
I am with Willie. In regards to what the team is trying to do because of the players that they went and got. I think they're trying to, you know, build something here from the ground up. And it shows by some of the players they went out and got and, you know, what they are doing through the draft, develop, and retain. But my one word for them this offseason is hopeful. It's hopeful because you hope that L'Jarius Sneed comes back and is closer to what he was that made you go out and get him than not. You're hopeful that the quarterback can be up to speed. You're hopeful that the offensive line with the additions will be much better than they were last season. You hope that those guys on the outside, those receivers and tight ends, you hope that they take that next step. All of them, even Ridley. So to me, you have all of these areas that you hope get better. So for me, this offseason is an offseason of hope. You know, you just hope that everything that you've done works out.
Hope is hope. Hope can be dangerous.
It can be dangerous.
Hope can be dangerous. So Willie Donick chooses foundational.
And I agree with that.
Agrees with Willie, but chooses the word hopeful. I think the word I'm going to go for, I'm going to say, I don't know if this, it's not an adjective, it's a noun, is upside. You're hoping that Cam Ward, of course, has upside as the number one overall pick. You better have upside.
Mm-hmm.
J.C. Latham moving to right tackle. Perhaps there's more upside for J.C. Latham there. Upside with the entire offensive line with bringing in Dan Moore and you hope for more from Peter Skoronski. That's my word, upside. They are banking on quite a bit of upside that their young players, Cam Ward, J.C. Latham, Peter Skoronski, Tajay Spears, the wide receivers they drafted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they need some hits.
Yes.
So my word is upside. Ben Arthur's word was Derek Mason's word, hopeful. And Ben Arthur wrote, quote, "With number one overall pick Cam Ward in the picture, Tennessee is banking on the former Miami star to be its franchise quarterback for years to come. That would alter the trajectory of the Titans, who have registered three straight losing seasons." So Willie chooses foundational. Derek chooses hopeful. I choose upside. Let me read some of your texts at 615-737-1025. Skyler said, "Sad."
Okay.
Sad. One texter said, "Sensible. I think that's reasonable, unless you were on Team Willie, because Willie was stark raving mad when the Titans did not take the Giants' reported offer. So if you think it was sensible to take Cam Ward instead of taking the reported offer."
Yeah, and I've tried not to just bring that up every day because it's it's done. It's over. They've moved forward. So I'm going to be on the Cam Ward track because that's what they chose. But I am on record saying at the time I would not have turned down that package. But
what did Brian Callahan said? What did he say? That the picks –
they didn't matter.
The picks didn't matter. Yeah. He did not.
And he wasn't alone. It was all a version of one answer, that if you think you've got your guy, and D-Mace was saying this for months going in, if you think you've got your guy, take him.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought that there is a price that you would take that is worth it, even if you think he could be good. You can't know, but here we are.
So Skyler said, sad. One texter said, sensible. Brian says, uninspiring. Tommy says, optimistic. Dylan says, lackluster. One texter says, hopeful. Another says, hopeful again. That was James. Cameron, backups, because that's all they drafted after Cam Ward. Wes in Clarksville, my one word is run. I hope Cam can run because he's going to be running for his life every play.
You know, one of the texters said, it may have been a texter of what you're reading on Fox, the three losing seasons. This will mark the second time in this franchise history, and I'm just talking about the Titans, I'm not talking about the Houston Oilers, that they have had three or more straight losing seasons. And I didn't even realize that. I didn't realize how bad they were from 12 through 15. Oh. They were bad.
That was rough.
6-10, 7-9, 2-14, 3-13. That was the Wisenhunt Munchak era. Munchak for 2 years. Munchak for 2 years, Wisenhunt for a year and a half, and then Malarkey took over, and that's when they started winning. But they're close to having a fourth straight losing season, and the way it looks, you know, I know all these words we're picking, hopeful and building and everything else. Upside, but how close is this team actually to being a winning team? I'm not saying going to the Super Bowl. I'm just saying, will it be another year of 6-10 or 6-11, or, you know, 7-10? Because though that would be an improvement, but still, it would mark the fourth year this team has had a losing record if it happens.
One texter says, my one word is shrug. One texter says, future. Josh says, hilarious. I would like Josh to explain why this offseason was hilarious. So, Josh, I know you're listening. Text back. Wes in Hermitage says, one word for this team's offseason. Exhausting. I'm ready for football.
Exhausting?
Exhausting. Huh. I mean, it has been a long offseason. Yeah. We've been talking about the Titans having the number one overall pick since January. John from Nashville says uncertain. Josh texted back in and said delusional, but Josh still has not explained why he said hilarious. So, Josh, I need you to explain hilarious. But
delusionally hilarious.
But you're getting a look into the mind of a Tennessee Titans fan. Again, we have a couple for hopeful, which was Derek's word and Ben Arthur's word at Fox Sports. You see lackluster, uninspiring, optimistic. So you're there. It's running the gamut. Mm-hmm. You're seeing plenty of Titans fans who think that the team did not really do enough. You're seeing Titans fans who think that Cam Ward brings that hope, which, as I said, is quite dangerous. So it is an interesting. I think it's a good mix here. Mm-hmm. A good mix of optimistic, positive, and negative as well.
I wonder for those that are more pessimistic than anything, I wonder why do they feel that way? Do they feel that the Titans didn't do enough in the draft, or do they feel that we wish they would have moved out of the first spot and went and got more picks? I want to understand, like, because yes, we can be hopeful, there can be an upside, but I don't think they did anything that made their team worse than last season. So for those that are you know, pessimistic in this situation, why are you?
If I had to guess, some of it probably has to do with Brian Callahan.
Yeah.
Because he didn't do a great job for a lot of people in his first season as a coach. The questions still remain about whether Cam Ward truly is a number one overall pick caliber talent. Mm-hmm. I think that probably plays into it as well. Eli says predictable. By the way, I believe the reason why Josh said it was hilarious was he was talking about Brian Callahan's competition.
Oh.
Which I suppose he found hilarious. One texter said, super. But to answer your question, and you can answer Derek's question as well at 615-737-1025. If I had to guess why some fans are feeling negative, it's one, it's the Titans, and they haven't given us much reason to be positive in recent years. I think Brian Callahan probably plays a factor into this. Again, Cam Ward, is he truly a number one overall caliber pick talent-wise? Who's to say? Mike from Nolansville says, supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
That's one word.
Which is one word.
Yes.
So technically, Mike is right. I'm not sure how this applies, although I am a Mary Poppins fan. But that would be my reason. I also think some of the Brian says, I'm pessimistic because the coach comes across as a total clown.
Oh, okay. I don't feel that way, but I mean, I think what is happening here is that and we should have known that this was going to happen. And we've talked about it, I believe, that now you have someone that is so opposite of your previous coach. Now you have gotten an opportunity to see him, and now you don't want him anymore, because even though you fussed about the last coach and how, you know, honor he was at times, you rather that than what you're getting now, because not only does he perceive to be, you know, this nice individual, you're not winning games either. You can be nice, but you got to win games. You can be a ass, but you got to win games. That was Vrabel. As long as he was winning games, he was good. The minute he stopped winning games, it became, oh, we don't want, this is too much.
Bill Belichick.
Yeah, exactly.
Prime example.
And then you bring in Brian Callahan. Yes, he's not like him. Yes, but he's not winning. Now it's like, oh, he can't coach. He's this, he's that. And I get it, but I think every first-year coach comes in and they are learning on the fly because this is their first head coaching job. Vrabel, I think he got a bump because he came into a almost ready-made team. And I'm not faulting Vrabel for that, because he did an excellent job at making sure they sustained that until the last couple of years. So I'm not faulting him for that. But Callahan didn't come in with that. And people don't know it. But still they're blaming him because he's too nice. And they're not winning.
Wes in Clarksville says, there wasn't a whole lot they could have done player-wise more than what they did in the offseason. I just wish when they got this new GM, they should have let him decide on Callahan's job and go from there. I'm tired of the carousel. I mean, the constant turnover in the front office and that head coach certainly gives off the vibe, as Brian says on our text line, that the organization is a bleep show. 615-737-1025. Which one word, again, one word, not two words with a hyphen, one word would you use to describe the Titans offseason? At 615-737-1025. We'll also look at some of the other teams on this list from Ben Arthur of Fox Sports. We'll look at the AFC South and some other notable teams and the one word that Ben Arthur used to describe them. But we'll take your Titans thoughts as well. One word to describe the Titans offseason at 615-737-1025. I do have some tickets to give away. Let's see who has our number on speed dial. Be caller number one at 615-737-1025, and you will win a four-pack of tickets to see the FIFA Club World Cup match at Geodis Park this Thursday night between Al Hilal, I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, of Saudi Arabia and CF Pachuca of Mexico. That's at Geodis Park on Thursday, 8 o'clock start, 615-737-1025, caller number one. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025, 1063, the game. D. Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 1025, 1063, the game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. This week's Nashville's best deal is Red's Hot Chicken. Red's Hot Chicken on West End is bringing the heat. Don't miss their hot chicken and waffles or the mac and cheese crunch wrap. Grab a $30 gift card now for only $15 while supplies last at thegamenashville.com/deals. On an unrelated note, one texter asked if we are planning on having Barry Trotz on the station before the NHL draft. Indeed, he will be on this afternoon with Jared Stillman during the 3 o'clock hour, in the latter half of the 3 o'clock hour. So sometime between 3:30 and 4. Barry Trotz.
Are we sure?
That's what Jared said. I mean, if it's anything, so as I understand it, Barry Trotz is holding a news conference at 3 o'clock at Bridgestone Arena. And if his news conference today is anything like his news conference a month and a half ago, at the end of the season, when he had a 25-minute opening statement, Barry may show up for the Stillman & Company program at 5:47. So we'll see.
I was just going to say, it might be. I think a lot of people are going to have a lot of questions, especially with the story of the day. That they have hired Luke Richardson as an assistant coach. I think there'll be a lot of questions on a lot of fronts. Of course, the draft being the next thing top of the list, but of course, all the speculation of how you're going to go about trying to reshape the roster with the little tweaks that you do every year, what's Richardson's role, there'll be plenty of questions. So I think the time, it's hard to know exactly what time he'll come on. But
he's scheduled.
Yeah,
he will go on.
He will be on. And I would recommend listening to Jared and Barry Trotz. It's always compelling conversation.
He will be on the Stillman & Company program at some point. He's scheduled to be on during the 3 o'clock hour. So let's continue our conversation. We will get into the NHL draft coming up in a little bit. I did some research that I think is instructive for what the Predators might be doing on Friday. But as inspired by Ben Arthur of FoxSports.com, I asked all of you at 615-737-1025, which one word would you use to describe the Titans' offseason? Speaking of Jared, one texter says Stillman, because he will be the loudest thing you hear all week if they don't win. One texter says, my word is hopeful. I think for many, the word is more like resigned. Resigned to the fact that no matter who is making the decisions, they'll make the wrong one. That's JW. In Bellevue, one texter says circus, Joey from Gallatin says developmental, and Scott says skibbity, as in skibbity toilet.
Explain.
Exactly.
Do I want to?
I mean, probably not.
It's some weird thing that kids say. I'm a little bit too old for it.
Okay.
But sounds bad.
Skibbity. You olds wouldn't get it.
Skibbity toilet, yeah.
Skibbity toilet.
Skibbity toilet.
Skibbity toilet.
I like that. It rolls off the tongue, though.
Yeah, it does. What is the skibbity toilet?
Willie's going to show up at home later and say to his college graduate daughter and his rising sophomore in college son and go, hey, guys, skibbity toilet.
They're going to look at you like
you're
crazy.
See what kind of reaction I get?
Exactly.
Man.
Nah, Dad. Mm-mm. Miss me with that one. That's what they're going to say.
One texter says, would like to hear what Adam's Tubi playlist is for this week. Does Tubi have playlists? I thought Tubi just had Cam Ward's docuseries.
Yeah, Tubi has a bunch of stuff.
I don't know.
I'm watching that Cam Ward docuseries. I
know
care
you
what
are.
Y'all say.
I know you are.
So all y'all will watch it. So
let's look at some of the other one words that Ben Arthur used to describe other teams in the NFL. And fortunately, Houston, Indianapolis, and Jacksonville, in alphabetical order, they're one right after the other. So let's start with Houston. Ben Arthur's word was underwhelming. He writes, after C.J. Stroud was the second most sacked quarterback in 2024, the Texans entered the offseason in dire need of retooling their offensive line, but their moves to address the group, including trading away perennial Pro Bowl left tackle Laremy Tunsil, feel disappointing. Thoughts on underwhelming for the word of the offseason for the Houston Texans?
I'm not sure if I would, you know, necessarily say underwhelming. I would say more of stagnant, because they didn't – you thought that they would add two, but they subtracted with the player, and then they lose Stephon Diggs, but he didn't give them – I mean, because of injury, he didn't give them much. He was really effective at the beginning of the first four games of the season, but then ended up getting hurt, so he wasn't, you know, useful to them – you know, when they really needed them. So this team is – luckily they play in the AFC South, because I don't think they necessarily improved a whole lot when you talk about, you know, the talent they brought in. The only way they improve is if the quarterback takes another step, because he did take a slight step back last year. He needs to take a step and a half forward. I think that's where – if this team is going to get improved, that's where it's going to show with the quarterback. Because Tim said, listen, that first year he was playing, it was, you know, they were just getting him into the flow of it. And the numbers were not gaudy, especially not the touchdown numbers. But last year it looked a little bit different, but they looked like they took a step back. If he can progress the way they want him to, and I'm sure he will, then, yeah, they'll take a step forward. But it all depends on, I think, him and not necessarily the guys around him.
One tweeter, I don't know what you call someone who posts on X anymore, an Xer? Casey on Twitter says, his word is okay, but say it like you're impressed, but don't want to show that you're too excited. Maybe like, okay. That's the vibe of it.
All right.
Like, okay.
I see you.
Hmm.
I see you.
I'm familiar with that one.
Okay.
But more than the skippity.
Not
skippity toilet.
Skippity toilet.
What
your,
is the
your
damn
homework,
skippity
Willie,
toilet?
Is to work that into conversation with your kids today and then let us know how that goes.
But Willie, you can't say it in such a way that they know you just learned that word. You can't do that, Willie.
Okay. I'll try to be subtle.
Yeah, you gotta be subtle.
Like I knew all the time.
Yeah.
There's an old episode of The Simpsons where Homer takes Bart and Lisa to Lollapalooza. And he buys one of those Rastafarian hats, and Lisa chastises him and says, like, you can't wear a Rastafarian hat, you know. And he goes, psh, I've been Safarian since before you were born.
Oh, man. Yeah, Bart, I mean, Homer would say something like that.
Yes.
Don't be Homer.
Don't be really. Homer.
Yes.
Nevertheless. The Indianapolis Colts, the word for Ben Arthur, competition. Anthony Richardson and newcomer Daniel Jones will battle for the quarterback one job, with the former out indefinitely. Due to pain in his surgically repaired right shoulder, Jones has the early lead in the competition ahead of training camp. Although I did see, maybe it was yesterday, that Richardson said he'll be ready for training camp. I also did learn the other day that apparently Anthony Richardson is an aspiring rapper.
Is he?
That was a thing.
Man.
I believe the song is called Villain, which is what he's going to be if he continues
exactly.
to rap instead of studying the playbook.
NBA aspiring quarterback.
This is one of those things where you need to be good if you're going to do this, because if you're not good at quarterback, then it's going to affect your how people view it.
Right. Shaquille O'Neal rapped.
Yeah.
But Shaquille O'Neal was good.
He was a beast.
Let's give you another example. Matt Duchesne in the country music.
So yes.
When Matt Duchesne was scoring 40 goals, he likes to play the guitar. When he's not doing well and making it, he needs to get rid of that guitar and concentrate on hockey.
He need to be playing
What's
hockey,
wrong with
not
this guy?
Not the guitar.
Did you know that Shaq released four albums?
Yeah.
Shaq Diesel, 1993. Shaq Fu, Da Return, 1994. You Can't Stop the Rain, R-E-I-G-N.
And it was fun because Shaq was always dominating on the court.
He was dominant. You know.
Yes.
So Shaq could have made 100 albums, and people would have been like, okay, he's Shaq. He's dominating on the court and in.
Work on your free throws, Shaq. Get out of the studio.
Make a rap about free throws.
Make your free throws.
Stop making rap. Make free throws.
Willie Donlick bottled you up that one time.
Donick.
Donick.
That scares him, Willie. That scares him.
The two words that frighten Shaquille O'Neal.
That's right.
Willie, Willie Donick. Donick. Right. Yeah, Willie there Donick. We go.
Who he play for? Willie Donick.
But competition for Indianapolis, I would almost, my word would be, if that's a word like this, that's what I, you know, that's what I, how I feel about the Indianapolis.
Do you think
off-season.
Richardson will be the starter on opening day?
No.
I tend to agree. I think he's going to be behind, and they will be intrigued enough with Daniel Jones that they'll give him a shot.
If he's not fully, one, if he's not fully healthy.
Because there's a chance that
exactly.
that's the case.
Absolutely.
And it's automatic.
Absolutely. So, one, if he's not fully healthy when camp start, and if Jones is underneath center on that first day, and he starts to get comfortable, and that team looks different, he will, and going to the first game, and this team is doing well, he will never see that position as a starter again for the Indianapolis Colts. He just won't.
The one word Ben Arthur chose for the Jacksonville Jaguars is bold. New coach Liam Cohen, GM James Gladstone, a.k.a. Doogie Howser, and coordinators Grant Udinski and Anthony Campanile, I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, range between 29 and 42. Jacksonville also traded up in the top five of the draft for Travis Hunter, a two-way unicorn, but a non-quarterback nonetheless. It's all a big risk, one that Jacksonville obviously believes can pay off. And I was listening to Robbie and Jake Lyman this morning. They had Frank Schwab of Yahoo Sports on the program, and he said that this is the year for Trevor Lawrence. Like, if Trevor Lawrence can't figure it out this season, it may never happen for Trevor Lawrence.
So my word for the Jacksonville Jaguars are, okay. It could be okay good. It could be okay bad.
Are we talking like, okay, or just...
That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
Okay. Like, right now, it's just, okay.
I think bold, though, is not a bad one.
No, I mean...
Because they're... To go all in on Travis Hunter, that alone is bold.
But that was easy to do. Because Travis Hunter...
To give up what they did, that was the bold part. Selecting him is probably not that bold, right? Somebody was going to do it, but... They were the ones that jumped in and gave the offer. We're going to give you extra stuff.
Yeah, bold from that standpoint.
A lot of extra stuff.
Here are some of my favorites that Ben Arthur
chose.
Hold on.
Yes. You want to know what my word for the Jacksonville Jaguars is?
I know where you're going with this. Oh! I knew it. I walked right into it.
Cringeworthy.
The word for Kansas City was provoked. Following their humiliating Super Bowl loss to the Eagles, the Chiefs are expected to have an edge in the new season. Not only did Travis Kelce commit to playing in 2025, but Kansas City will also have Rashee Rice back from an injured knee that cost them all but four games in 2024. There was another word in here. The Pittsburgh Steelers. Here's my favorite. Delusional. The Steelers' patience was rewarded earlier this month when Aaron Rodgers finally signed after a months-long courtship, but they have their hopes set too high if they believe the 41-year-old makes them a Super Bowl contender.
What do they have for Baltimore? Did we cover that one already?
Let's see. Baltimore. They have roused. At minicamp, Lamar Jackson spoke of the vengeance that will be on the Ravens' minds entering 2025 following their divisional round loss to the Bills last season. They also have star receiver Zay Flowers coming back from injury and added the kind of depth on defense that should give them plenty of confidence entering the new year.
I mean... I can understand, but they've been roused the last few seasons. I mean, again.
Are they need more roused?
Exactly. They need more roused than they have been. You know, I think Baltimore, they've done enough, but I don't think, you know, the signing to me that is going sort of under the radar because they're going to need somebody. And I know they went and got Hop. I think Hop's going to be good in this offense on third down. I think he's going to give so a lot of the heat can be taken off of Zay Flowers. So I think Hop is going to be able to, as he did here, he's going to be a third down guy. He's going to be a, you know, move the chains guy. But I think them signing Rashad Bateman was probably the biggest move that they made this offseason. And maybe that's part of the roused. You riled the Ravens back up again.
We didn't
that
remember
they had
that.
To go out and sign, to re-sign Rashad Bateman because that, he did have
word,
a really good season.
That word is one letter away from being quite problematic. 615-737.
We need to remember that word throughout the season.
Yes.
Check in on the Ravens and find
see if
out
they still roused.
The rouse-o-meter.
Yeah,
during the season.
I'll let you guys know.
Oh man, we're entering some dangerous territory. There is a lady present today. 615 737
and all throughout our listening audience.
Yes,
of course.
Exactly.
615-737-1025. Tyrese Halliburton has spoken or typed after suffering his Achilles injury in Game 7 of the NBA Finals. Does the NBA have a problem with this specific injury? We'll discuss that coming up next. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025, 1063, the game.
Shorten the playoffs. They started 2 weeks before the draft, the NFL draft. The NBA is faster. There's more spacing. There's way more movement. Players are just moving more. It's twitchier. When you can see his Achilles flop, it's gutting. An Achilles tear used to be what old guys did at 58 playing handball. It was an old guy injury. It wasn't for 20-year-olds. That tells you everything. And baseball, for the record, has made multiple tweaks in the last 3 years. The sport has greatly benefited. The NFL, tweaks in season. We love the NFL. The NBA has never been a stubborn league. Move off 7-game playoff series until you get to the finals. MJ, the most popular to the league ever was, 5 games in the first round. Maybe you can do conference finals at 7. But the NBA just got a $76 billion TV deal. The billionaires are going to be okay without another home game.
That was Colin Cowherd with his suggestion on how to limit the number of Achilles injuries we've seen in the NBA. Of course, mm-hmm. Tyrese Halliburton suffered one playing on a strained calf.
Aaron, great to see you. Great catching up.
What was that?
That was my bad.
Okay, just making sure. The magic of live radio.
A little bleed.
Yes. So, Tyrese Halliburton said on social media, quote, "I do it again, and again after that, to fight for this city and my brothers for the chance to do something special." But I, as Colin Cowherd referenced in that clip, I read this in Front Office Sports, that Halliburton's Achilles injury joins Jason Tatum's Achilles injury and Damian Lillard's Achilles injuries, both of whom are also likely out for all of next season, impacting their own team's title odds. If Halliburton's Achilles is ruptured, which it is, I believe this story was written before that was made official, it would be the 8th injury of its kind during the current NBA season, according to Jeff Stotts of In Street Clothes, a website that tracks player injuries. The previous season high was 5. During the 2014-15 year. Jay Williams, his theory is, the NBA is playing at its fastest pace since the early 70s, and that is contributing to the number of Achilles injuries we've seen.
Well, if that's the case, a lot of people should be getting injured because every sport, I think, has gotten faster. And, you know, Colin Cowherd, I think that's the comment he made, yes, the NFL changed, but they added, didn't subtract, you know. So when you say, well, the NFL has changed, the NFL has added, and they're looking to add more. So when you talk about players' safety, that's not at the top of their forefront when they're trying to add games and everything. I know they've changed, you know, camp and everything else, but they want to add another game and they want to add more teams to the playoffs or change the seeding or whatnot. So the NBA is not going to stop. The NBA is not going to take games away, I don't believe, because just because they got more money doesn't mean all of a sudden now we're going to take away more games. You got more money because you played those games. They're not. You can't just in midstream say, ESPN, thank you for all that money, or whoever else, thank you for all that money. Now we're going to take games away. That's not what I paid for if I'm a company. I didn't pay for you to take games away. You should have decided that before we redid, you know, our deal, before we negotiated this big media deal. You should have thought about that then. So this is what happens in sports, no matter what. When something happens more than two times, especially in a season, and it has to be marquee players, it can't be me, you, and Willie getting hurt.
Right.
They're going to look at it as, whatever. But when you start seeing Jason Tatum 1 year, then Halliburton the next following year, and it's not necessarily I don't think it's necessarily the player per se, especially in Halliburton's situation. It's what they – each one of those teams, what it cost them. For Boston, it cost them potentially a repeat, because once Jason Tatum got hurt, it was just over with for them. Even though they were basically – that was an elimination game for them. They just got blew out the water after that. You look at Halliburton, or you look at KD many years ago. Because their team was in a position to potentially move forward or win, if this happens in a season, I don't think we're making such a big deal about the injury. But when you have two or more or three or more injuries in a sport, then all of a sudden now it's, well, maybe it's because these guys are too fast, or maybe you're playing too many games. I mean, fool, we told all y'all that many years ago that you're playing too many games.
But to your point, if I'm not mistaken, it happened three times during the NBA playoffs, and all three players who suffered the injury are marquee players. Damian Lillard, Jason Tatum, and Tyrese Halliburton. So that certainly plays a factor in it. If it was, to borrow Jared's term, some Scarbini, it wouldn't have the same impact as three top players going down with this injury in one postseason.
I think the expansion of playoffs more with the TV contracts to offer is an issue with all sports. I would say that the player safety element to it is something that basketball really hasn't had to deal with like hockey and football have, or even baseball with arm injuries to pitchers, right? These are all the things that start coming. As the athletes evolve, they're throwing harder, they're faster, they're bigger. The technology, the training, the nutrition, it all ratchets up, and the stress on the body is more. There's the whole element of when do you start specializing, right? And how much are you playing, you know, how much are you applying on your joints going way back before Halliburton got hurt? It didn't just happen because they had seven-game series. Colin Cowherd is way off on this. Five-game series, but so you're going to play four less games, five less games, and that's going to solve the problems? No, he's way off. But this is something that they've got to address on a macro scale, because the wear and tear, you watch in another week or two, ESPN's, what are they going to show? Summer league games. So these guys who are trying to make the league, they're going to play all summer and then try to play the whole season. That's very stressful on your body. You're going to be more prone. But I think basketball really hasn't had to wrap their mind around player safety. But other than the great words that we love talking about, load management. Yes. This is all part of the load management. This is why some teams have said, we're resting players during the season because it is longer. But five-game series as opposed to seven-game series, honestly, how many less games is that?
I want to throw this
five?
Out. I want to throw
six?
This out there from Albert Breer of Sports Illustrated, who we know as a football reporter. But he was quote-tweeting somebody who was wondering, why are all of these Achilles injuries happening in the NBA? And Albert Breer responded, quote, a lot of people I know theorize that it's how early athletes specialize in single sports. You're naturally overtraining some muscles, undertraining others, and the wear and tear can lead to major injuries down the line. Achilles would be a natural one for basketball players.
Yeah, because, you know, the sudden movement, it's all of a sudden you're standing still, then you got to move and you're cutting and you know, whatnot. But again, how will it help if you remove, which I know you can't do, but you make these series five-game series, at least the first round or two?
I think shortening the regular season makes more sense
than shortening
the postseason.
Exactly, shortening the postseason.
I mean, if you want to go five get best of five in the first round, fine. But that, I mean,
honestly, which is what
that,
it used to be, yeah. Right?
It is what it used to be. It used to be two out of three way back when I was little in the first round because there was less teams and all that stuff. But again, we're only talking about a couple of games. Mm-hmm. It's really the off season. It's really your upbringing. It's your whole shaping as an athlete. And it's also are we using too many heroic methods mm-hmm. when you're hurting and you. There are warning signs, mm-hmm. right? The calf strain was a warning sign
exactly.
to the Achilles, and he ignored the warning
exactly.
sign because he wanted to play, which is understandable.
And nobody's do it again.
Yeah. And nobody's talking about that part. Like, you got a warning 2 games ago that this may end up being a catastrophic injury, but they gave you all the information, and you chose to play with it and saying, I'm going to rest and allow my calf muscle to heal. You didn't do it. So what did you do? You put further stress on it, and then you end up tearing it. So you could have been smart and said, you know what? I'm not doing it. And I understand why he didn't. I get it. I really do, because as a competitor, you want to be out there helping your team at all costs. And I would have did the same thing he did. But then again, I wouldn't try to change the narrative after that and say, you know, and I know it's not Halliburton, but I'm saying, if y'all know in his situation, what y'all would have done, how can you now try to build this narrative that, oh, these guys are, you know, faster, this and that, and that and this. That's why they're getting injured. No, he got injured. He blew out his Achilles because he didn't rest. His body was saying, sit down, rest. And you didn't do it.
But
so,
as you know, as a competitive professional athlete, especially in Game 7 of the NBA Finals, Tyrese Halliburton said, if I can walk, I want to play.
And I don't fault him. I don't fault him for that, because I would have done the same thing.
Right. You can speak to that.
Yeah. So, but I wouldn't allow everyone to start setting a narrative because of that, because mm-hmm. I knew the risk. I was already injured. I knew the risk. There's not you're going to blow an Achilles probably, you know, without knowing it, you know, where there's no pain or anything else. And it just happens at that particular moment. But I'm sure you do get a warning sign like, man, it's sore, or, you know, man, it feels a little weak. Maybe I need to rest. But understanding that I don't have time to rest. Basketball, and correct me if I'm right, Willie or Adam, basketball is the only sport of the major sports outside of hockey that in the offseason they play. Like, a lot of these guys play.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
international
football,
play.
The football, they don't
league.
Play. Yeah. Hockey, those guys are resting. Yeah.
They'll do the. There are some baseball winter leagues.
Yeah.
But that's usually for people that need to
play. Exactly.
But they'll also do like the street ball stuff, like at Rucker Park. Like
all that stuff.
Oh, they'll do that stuff too.
Instead of just training. But I understand it's almost a part of the training. You got to play basketball and a part of the training. Yeah. But that's just putting more wear and tear on your body.
I would say that the nature of the game with the players that are tall are like a Chet Holmgren, uh-huh. right, who is who can play on the perimeter, and the lack of the big aircraft carriers in the middle, that they, you know, there's more stress on the bigger guys, the longer – they're all taller. The average player's taller. They shoot from the outside. There's more space – to cover in a game. And so I do think there's a little bit to that theory, the high-end possessions that we're seeing. And can we take this right now and once and for all tell everybody who thinks nobody plays defense in the NBA that the guys are lazy and put that to rest based
on
this?
I hope we can.
Let's run through some texts quickly. One texter says, no one wears high-top shoes anymore. All the guys rupturing their Achilles are wearing non-supporting low-top shoes.
But their ankles are taped and everything else, so.
One texter says, I wonder if the year-round training that happens now doesn't give tendons and ligaments time to rest and they become brittle and tear easier. Always wondered that. Matthew and Nashville points out, as I've seen, that all three of those players, Lillard, Tatum, and Halliburton, wear number zero. Just a complete coincidence. But I do want to quickly share my personal experience with tearing an Achilles. I have not torn my Achilles. My father tore his Achilles watching a Duke game.
Did he jump up and was he? Were y'all winning or did they lose?
Let me take you back. It was the year 2006. It's March 2006. Duke is in the ACC championship game in Greensboro, North Carolina, against the Boston College Eagles. It's Boston a back and College. Forth. It's a back and forth affair. I pulled up the play by play because I want to figure out the exact moment it happened. with 1:17 left in the second half, J.J. Redick hits a three-point jumper to give Duke a 74-73 lead after Boston College went to the free throw line for two free throws to take a two-point lead.
And your dad jumped in
the air. My dad jumped up in the air and fell right down. And I'm just like, what is going on with my dad right now? And he said, I can't feel my foot.
Ooh.
My dad had surgery later that day.
Wow. Ooh.
So 20 years later, I came up today for some reason. I don't know why we were talking about it. I think we were talking about this, Tyrese Haliburton and such. And my dad says, JJ still owes me 20 years later. So if my dad ever comes across JJ Redick, that's going to be a fun story to tell. But my father tore his Achilles watching a Duke game. So if anybody questions my fandom or my father's fandom, my dad suffered a serious injury jumping off the couch.
He has the scar. Dedicated. He has the scar to show you.
Yes. Okay?
He has the scar to show you.
615-737-1025. We'll take your thoughts on the Achilles issue. You can also comment on my father's Achilles injury from 20 years ago. 615-737-1025. But coming up next, the NHL draft is on Friday. The Nashville Predators have, at the moment, three first-round draft picks. How have other NHL teams that have had three first-round draft picks fared in recent years? I have the list. We'll discuss it coming up next. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Ving, and 1025-1063 The Game.